I'd like to read a poem about Dry Dryden, if I can find it. Here it is. He was mentioned in the poem about the chainsaw. This poem is called John Dryden. Dry, they call him, and dry is what he hopes never to be, though spring water is all his drink 6 nights after the welfare comes, and most all his feed too, I sometimes think. Though once I saw him bring down a hare at 7 rods with a stone, and it didn't look lucky either. When I asked him if he knew a famous poet had the same name, he looked at me not quite contemptuously. And yet I took a while to see his scorn wasn't because he was smarter than I'd credited. For a fact, he can't read but about half what's printed on the welfare check. But rather, because he'd been asked so damn many times before, and he figured I should have known. I should have, too. Dry is not dumb. He's only crazy. Well, anyway, that's the general impression around the plot, which is what they call this section. My neighbor rounds up her kids and locks her door when Dry comes striding and caroling up the hill from town in his outsized rummage pants with a carton of grub held like an offering in both arms and his coat gone slanty-wise from a fifth of soft turn in the pocket. Paranoid, I'd say. There's more than a few in these mountains, and sometimes I'm not just certain about myself. But I know Dry. I know he hasn't worked 4 consecutive days on any one job in 15 years. That's indicative. Once we were haying up at Marshall's, and Dry took offense because a car with a shield on the door drove in the barnyard, and Dry thought Marshall was telling the CIA on him. And he came after Marshall and me with his hay fork, chasing us round the tractor, his face dead white like snow that's thawed and frozen again. He did, and it wasn't funny either. My kidneys ached for 2 hours after from thinking about that fork. Finally, he saw he couldn't catch us. He threw down the fork and marched off, straight as a bee, over the meadow, the pasture, the orchard, the fence, and was gone. That year, Marshall and I made the rest of the hay alone. One time, Gilbert told how he and Dry were cutting sugar wood for old man Saunders up toward Cotting Hollow, and Dry took one of his spells and came after Gilbert with the axe. And Gilbert yanked quick on his chainsaw string and remarked, Dry, you damn fool, listen here. Just you set down that thing, or by the jumping Jesus Christ, I'll cut off both your arms. Dry set it down, about 3 inches into a black birch stump, and marched straight as a bee over brakes and brambles, hobble bush and thorn apple, and he was gone. Which may be indicative, too. He can be took right sudden, but when he's licked, he knows it. And he's a fair-handed marching. He told me once how it was here 40 years back. Them days was cruel, he said, awful cruel. Things were turning on a slow reel, and he made a motion like so, like the bobbins down to the woolen mill when they run half speed. Why, hell, he said, I had one of them $5 gold certificates, you remember? I felt like I was rich, and I was, too. But I spent it running the cunt, and it come back, and I spent it again, and it come back again. So help me over and over till the damn thing wore itself out. I carried the pieces for years, but they're gone now. One time, Dry vanished, clean gone. No one knew where and don't know yet. But when he came back, I met him up in the woods. And he stood on a spruce log and threw out his arms and said, God, Hayden, it's moxie in the can being back in these here goddamn mountains again. And he laughed. The last what you could call steady job Dry had, as far as I know, was 1945. Down at the rendering plant in Burlington, where he slugged cows with an axe and pushed their guts through a hole in the floor all day. Stink, Jesus, I guess I stunk like a she-bear in Whistling Time, but I made good money, 40 a week, and that want that in them days. But I spent it all running the cunt, every dime. Why, I got throwed out of 5 flea-bag rooming houses, and I want even drunk. Just owed the landlady a week or two. Well, running's what we say a bull does when you turn him out to pasture with the cows. So you can see how dry I felt about that. At least providing you've ever watched a bull in action. But now, goddammit, dry spit and grin sly-like with his uppers, which is all the teeth I've ever seen him wear. Now you could lay a big slobbering juicy one right there, ready and open. Him leaning and making a kind of slicing gesture along the log. And I couldn't do nothing. I couldn't touch it. I couldn't hardly spit on it. And he spit and grinned. It'd be all wasted, Hayden. I'm fucked. Fucked, and I ain't but 59. How old are you? That's dry, all right. The nailhead every time. Well, he lives up in the old Connell sugar house now that he shingled all over with sap bucket covers to keep the wind out, till it looks like a big tin fish in among the pines near the brook. And there's plenty more he could tell you, like how he got bit that time by the cattle grub and took the purple ague, or how he has a buckshot in him that keeps going round and round in his veins, catching him sharp-like on his cotter bone when he don't expect it every now and again. Or how he eats 40 aspirins a day and hears sweet patootie music in his ears. Or how he fell in a cellar hole at blackberry in time and landed on a bear. I says, woof, old bear, get you away from me. And Ben, I climb the hell out of there. Or how... But have you noticed I can't talk about him without talking like him? That's my trouble. Somehow I always seem to turn into the other guy, and dry's the kind that brings it out the strongest. But his trouble is what I'm telling about now. For it's not just buckshot in his blood. It's worse, a whole lot worse. His reel is turning slower and slower, no mistake. Crazy? I reckon he is. I sure don't want to be there when he's took bad, even now, if he's got a fork or an axe within grabbing distance. But I'll go up to call on him in his sugar house. I believe old Dry is preparing to march again, or anyway preparing to prepare. And I believe he'll go straight as a bee, white as a squall of snow, knowing what he damn well knows. Over the goldenrod, the birch woods, the pines and hemlocks, over the mountains, and he'll be gone. And then Marshall and I shall make this hay alone, by God, and curse old Dry. But in our thoughts, we'll remember and remember how that man could march.